No, we haven't started yet. Unless we want to. I was just gonna
I normally wait for Ben to say something funny, and I'll clip that, put it at the beginning of the intro music.
I have to be prompted.
Welcome to this year's Jabcast.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to keep it going.
Cold open.
It's our music episode.
Yeah.
We use that. Cold open.
Take two.
No, that was fine. Let's do it. Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 3 of the Jabbies 2023. We are here with the music episode. You heard him here first. He's our guest for the episode. Two-time Jabcast guest, I believe. Luke Roarball, a.k.a. Getty.
Yeah.
Welcome back, sir. How's it feel?
I'm so excited. Who's the person you've had most on?
Tui.
Really?
Tui. Yeah. He was he got a hat trick. Episode.
We changed his name to Ben 3E, right, Ben?
Yeah, Ben. Yeah, Ben 3E. Because he was on. Wait, Luke, you might be 3-time as well, now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, we got.
Because he was on air with us once.
Luke's 3 at least, yeah.
He was on air once, and then the Lyndon B. Johnson cast.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is 3 as well. I was mistaken.
Ooh, look at that. Ooh. Great.
Would Cullen be 3 as well? Did we have him in the booth, in the studio?
I don't know. We can figure that out.
Yeah, I'll ask him after he's done with his side gig. But yeah, I think I already said it. This is our music episode. We got our music expert, Luke Roarball, here with us. We got a lot of variety in our lists this year. I was worried I wouldn't even be able to figure out an album of the year via ranked choice voting, but we were able to find one, so that's good. I guess I'll kick it off. You guys want to get rolling?
Yeah, I'm excited. I honestly think that this episode may have some of the best undisputed awards of all of our shows.
Yeah, I'm excited for these. And I think that definitely lends itself to the diversity in our lists. Like, I think that kind of created some really cool awards. So yeah, I'll jump right into my list. Favorite album of the year is The Family by Brockhampton. If you guys have been listening for a while, you know I'm a huge Brockhampton fan. This album is unique for the group in that it's not the group at all. It's released under the Brockhampton name, but it's really just a Kevin Abstract solo album. They were contracted for 2 more albums. They released the one called TM, but this came right before, I think a week before, and it's just the Kevin Abstract solo. And unfortunately, he talks about the band breaking up for various reasons, which I'll get into a little bit more later. Yeah, it was just a really strong solo outing from Kevin. A lot of great production. Lyricism is fantastic. Had a lot of fun with it. Still in rotation. And my least favorite album of the year is, I think we listened to this. Did we talk about Eddie Vedder at the beginning of the year? Were we still doing the pod at that point?
Yeah, that was I think that one was a album swap segment when we were still doing the when I was down in Tampa, that era of Jabcast.
Yeah, I believe you gave that to us. It is Earthling by Eddie Vedder. I don't even remember what I hated about it so much, but it just really bothered me to my core, and it just sat at the bottom of my list and nothing ever topped it or bottomed it, however you want to say that. I even have the Alanis Morissette album above that when it was just the
That was so fucking shit. Like, I hated that album.
The Meditation album. Yeah,
remember how mad I was about that?
Yeah, well, you hyped me up so much for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Ben, do you know it's like what is the genre for that? I forget.
It's like ambient.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that was drums or anything. It's just mainly like synths and like, I never listened to that.
Luke, you ever listen to the old like Japanese ambient music, like from the 80s and 90s? It's just like synthscapes, basically.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Oh, wow.
It was a whole album.
It's an hour and 46 minutes, too.
Wow.
That's a movie, man.
Yeah, basically. There's very few like ambient artists that can make something that long. And it'd be like, oh, it's really good. Like, I have a feeling that, Alanis Morissette is not hitting that point with an hour and 45 minutes.
No, and like, you come for the vocals, for Alanis Morissette. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I don't even remember listening to that album, honestly.
I don't know if I finished it.
No, I didn't.
But I couldn't put it at the bottom just because I love Alanis. Don't have that same love for Eddie. So sorry, Eddie. You're my least favorite. Get used to it. All right, moving on to my awards. Award number one, one of my favorite rappers right now, but I have to address this. Boldy James, for artist who probably released too much music. I really like his style, but it's, like I said, he's one of my favorite rappers, but I think it's a little one note. It's kind of the same exact flow for every single project. He very rarely mixes it up, which I haven't fully gotten sick of it yet, but it's starting to get a little stale for me. And he released four projects in 2022. Killing Nothing, produced by Real Bad Man. Fair Exchange, No Robbery, produced by Nicholas Craven. Mr. 1008, produced by Future Wave. And Be That As It May, produced by Kunz. By the way, back to Nicholas Craven. When I sent that album to Wayman here, he goes, "Isn't that the horror director?" He was thinking of Wes Craven.
Yeah. Whoops.
But maybe a little too much. Some overexposure for how one note he is. Still love him. Boldy James, if you're listening, and I know you are. Just try and mix it up a little bit for me. But
are they full length albums?
Yeah. Like, they're shorter, like, they're full length. They're not EPs, but they're on the shorter end of full length. And, like, you came out with one in January. So these albums, it was May, September, November, December for 2022, and then another in January of this year. So that's five albums in less than a year.
So it probably would have been better for him to just throw it on as a number of EPs and then combine them into almost like a collective.
Yeah, that could work. I also think, to his credit, these are producer collabs. Like I said, every single one of those was with a different producer, Real Bad Man, Nicholas Craven, Future Wave. So I think that's why they were released in succession like that. Again, they're not that long either. They're ranging between like 30 and 40 minutes usually. So they're on the shorter end of full length albums, and they're collab albums with those producers. But yeah, still, I think he could tone it back a little bit, maybe release a cohesive solo project, not like a collab producer thing. But still love him.
Yeah, he's so I think even though he did release like a ton, he's easily, in my opinion, like one of the most consistent rappers. I think you are kind of right with his like flow and stuff. It can kind of be one note, especially like someone coming from the outside and listening to him. But like, what I like about him is you literally get him every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
on features, if it's his own song, every single time you get Boldy James, and like, you either like it or you're really not going to like it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And right now I still like it. In fact, I'd even say I love it. It is like that flow is so, again, so predictable, but classic already. Like, I just love his flow.
It might even be more laid back than that, but like when Amir Van was in like Brockhampton, it kind of reminds me like of what people would talk about with him and be like, hey, kind of the same, but like there's not a lot of people really complaining about it because it has this like unique element to it, almost like they're really just like themselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Shit's so cool.
Yeah, I definitely like to see him if he can mix it up, what that could do, but. Again, I'm not sick of what he's doing yet. Okay, award number two. Sorry if I keep clearing my throat into the mic. I referenced it earlier. It's my favorite album of the year, The Family by Brockhampton for best breakup album. It definitely, again, he dips into how the group Brockhampton broke up, but it can just as easily be connected to actual breakups, in my opinion. There's just a lot of the shit he's gone through. He lost a lot of friends, maybe didn't lose them completely. You know, their relationship isn't the same now. And it had an effect on him, and it had an effect on all the rest of them. Mm-hmm. I just think it can connect to those same themes. You know, just loss of someone in your life. I just think it's really fun. Yeah, not fun. That's a bad word for it. But really creative. It's really fun how he talks about how he lost all his friends.
It is, though. I feel like the way they kind of made it is it did really make it fun, or at least like they made it from like him and Kevin and that other, I think his name is Boy Life or something like that. That like the people that really did make it, they made it from a perspective of like looking back at the group as a whole and being like, okay, as Kevin, what do I want to talk about?
Right. You
know, from my perspective. And like, even when he was fucking up, even when he was clearly like making bad, like he even talks about that, of like the bad decisions he was making and like how he was pushing people away and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. He addresses his own faults as well as their own. And I think, is it the last song or the second to last song? He shouts out each one of them individually and like says what he likes about them most.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the
ending. Song. Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. That was like an acceptance of what was and like an embrace of what's coming. So that was a really cool way to end it. Obviously, as a huge fan of them, I'm sad to see it go, but I'm excited for their solo work. Kevin's already shown himself. I'd really like to hear some more from Matt Champion, Merlin, Bareface, all of them. So definitely looking forward to that. I think they can focus more on some solo work, which would be fun. And award number three, not much to really dissect here, but Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers by Kendrick Lamar for best album art. I just really love the look of this. When he released it, I was, I don't want to say taken aback, but I was like, what is this? And then the more I looked at it, and then once I listened to the album, it connects to it thematically so well. He's got the gun in his back pocket, he's got the iced out crown of thorns on his head, he's got his I think it's his wife now, I think they're married, with one of their kids, he's holding the other. They're in this room with some paint splotches, maybe patching up holes in the wall. It's just really, really cool. The more you look at it, especially in comparison to the album, it just really, really works, and I love it. It's something I think I could put up on my wall. I don't think I will, but something I could see on my wall.
Yeah, I think that album cover was one of the most talked about amongst the three of us when we would do our album trading. We spent a pretty good amount of time about this album cover.
Yeah.
Because we would always kind of predict what the album would be about through the album art when we gave it. And I think we talked about this one for a little bit.
We did. Yeah. I don't think we predicted anything correctly.
Did we ever do a show when that album came out? I don't ever remember talking about it.
I think we did.
Pretty sure we did. When did that come out?
Because I listened to it. Listened to it, we talked about it.
I'm not kidding.
If it is not a country album, and it's on my list, we did it on the show. Because I don't think I would have went out and found Kendrick or most of these artists by myself. Not gonna lie. Yeah.
Yeah. It came out middle of May, May 13th.
That was the day before Ben and I graduated. That was like right before we graduated.
How's it feel? Almost a year graduated, by the way.
I mean,
nightmarish.
It's weird. It I don't know if you guys kind of went through this, but it was really, really weird not going back to school.
Yeah, that's what hit
for that fall semester. That was like, I felt almost like lonely. I was like,
yeah,
all these people that I'm close to, I'm not really going to be like just be able to be around them,
right?
You know? It kind of made me think, damn, I spent so much time and like even like building relationships with people or whatever. And then it's just like not there anymore.
Yeah.
Because people leave.
And for me, it was so weird because right as, like you said, right when that fall semester should have started, but obviously we weren't going into it, I was just like, wait, the rest of my life is open-ended now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I can go anywhere. Like I don't, like, you know, college, you had this end goal. But like, there's no real end goal anymore.
Yeah,
it's whatever you want, and you can change that end goal at any point.
Yeah, that was the hardest thing for me too. Because sitting here, getting ready, and it's that time where you got to go like back to school. Since we were kindergarten,
but
even before then, you are like conditioned to summer, then go to school, then have Christmas, then go back to school. And then like now, as soon as that like August hit, when it was time to go back, I'm like, I got like anxious. I'm like, I'm supposed to be doing something that I'm not. And it's uncomfortable. That was definitely the hardest part of graduating college. because now I'm like done. And there's that system of life every single year is now done. And it's weird. That cycle is over.
Yeah. Very strange.
Yeah. For me, it wasn't so much the not going back as much as it was the, like, I have friends that are still in school. We all do, I'm sure. But the, like, texting them and them being like, yeah, I got like finals coming up. I'm just like, oh, like,
yeah, you forget. Still,
yeah. Forget what college was like. And just like the, like, classmates and stuff that I'll probably like never speak to again. It's like, what was the point of all of this?
Yeah.
it's kind of cynical, but
yeah, it's weird for sure. But
very weird. Well, let's dive back into music.
Yeah. Yeah. Who started us all
together here today?
Music.
Mm-hmm. Well, my number one album, I think, was actually given on the Jabcast by Jared.
Yes.
It is The Unraveling of Pup the Band by Pup. I remember listening to the first track and I'm like, what did Jared give us? It sounds like something that this dude just recorded on his phone in the living room with a new instrument he just bought and doesn't really know how to play. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And then going through the tracks, like halfway, a little bit over halfway through that first track, it just hits. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be a big, long story. It kind of gave off a similar feel to one of the first albums that, well, even back in college radio when we did the stuff, and Ben gave an album, I think it was called AM/FM, where the whole album seemed like it didn't stop, and it sounded almost like a radio station going from song to song.
Was that Vince Staples?
Maybe.
Thinking of FM?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah, something like that. But I remember that, and I'm like, this is awesome. Like, it just never stops. Like, as soon as you start the album and listen all the way to the last track, it doesn't end. It's like one big cohesive song, but each track can be pulled off and listened to individually as well. Right. And I think if you're aiming to make a project where you want it to start and end with the first and last track, I think that is significantly challenging standing alone, but to also be able to make each track coherent and have the ability to pull away and listen on its own and still be good, I think that's next level. And I think this album hit the nail right on the head with that. And it is a genre in which I really enjoy, and like that alternative pop rock style. Yeah. And I think this is just probably, this is a great album. I think there was a Childish Gambino album that did a similar thing. It was all the title tracks were just like time.
Yeah. Stamps. Yeah. Was it 3:15:22?
I think so.
20, I think.
20, because he released it during COVID.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Long ago.
Yeah. Like albums like that, I think, are just unreal. And I love them to death. But albums I don't love to death. I actually had a tie for worst album of 2022.
Oh boy.
Yeah, Earthling by Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
It was just so weird. It wasn't at all what I would expect from him. I don't know. It wasn't comfortable. It felt unnatural. I didn't like it really.
Didn't he say it was experimental?
Yeah, it was like an experimental album.
Yeah, it was something like, well, it's called Earthling, so it's obviously like space alien related, but yeah, it was just weird.
Yeah, very weird. I really was not a fan.
And the album art's terrible. I just looked that up again.
Yeah, the album art's not great. And then also tied for worst album of 2022 that Alec listened to is Georgia by Jason Aldean.
Really?
Oh my God. Especially because of how highly I talked about Macon, this was such a letdown.
Yeah.
Like, it hurt to have Macon be a very good album to me, for him to make this second part, and it just suck, honestly. And then I remember showing you guys the music video for that one song where it's just him standing by himself in a desert singing the song.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on? Like, Jason, put it together, man. Come on. I was very upset with this album. And I honestly think it's tied for worst because I really liked Macon, and I really, this was such a letdown. This is big steps in the wrong direction for Jason Aldean, and it really bothered me. But diving in to my awards, I definitely think my awards, I think, reflect my personality and who I am and the music I listen to very well. So my first award is for Best Country Single, and that is Get a Dog by Katie Offerman. I think this is by far the most creative and one of the best country breakup songs that I have ever listened to. There's a line in the song that says, "You can call her a bitch and she will still want to bone." And wow. It's referencing, and then it goes into the chorus, which says, "You should get a dog." It's just, this whole song is basically her telling this fucking loser guy that if he wants somebody to just hang around the house and be lazy, get a fucking dog, man. And I love it. I think,
what was that first line again?
The line, it's in the second verse. It says, "You can call her a bitch and she'll still want a bone."
Yeah, that's my next Instagram caption for sure.
I love it. Yeah, the song is great. It's such a good song, and I think it actually, it connects pretty well with anybody really who has gone through annoying high school relationships. Not gonna lie, it also connects with people who are probably still trying to figure out their relationship life, whether it be they're struggling because they can't find that person or anything like that. It hits a spot in the heartstrings, you know. My number two award is for Best New Alternative Group, Dexter and the Moonrocks. Yes, these guys they're awesome. I really like their music. I don't know how many songs exactly they have out right now. I want to say like 14, something like that. I really like them. They're really good. I think that they have a lot of potential. I actually, for work, sat down and did an interview with them for the radio. It was a lot of fun. Great guys. They're just a bunch of Texas dudes that describe their music as Western space grunge.
Wow. What?
Yeah, that's how they describe a lot of their music, their brand of Western space grunge, by pulling a lot of grunge music influence along with the country music influence, in the sense that they're all from Texas. They really pull a lot of the emotional aspects of country music, because country, I think, is one of the most emotional genres of music. And then they really mix it with that grunge sound, and it's interesting. And I like the band a lot. I think they're pretty good. So that's why I decided to give them Best New Alternative Group for the 2023 Jabbies.
I gotta check that out. Grunge and country?
Yeah, that's kind of how they mixed. I don't think there's anything similar. Like, that's how they kind of mix. That's what they describe themselves as.
Gruntry.
Yeah.
Would you call me?
Yeah. There also is, just for reference, there's nobody in the group named Dexter.
There's nobody in the group
named Dexter.
Full stop.
Figment of my imagination.
This whole time,
it's an AI group.
Yeah, it is. But my third album is Best Christmas Album of 2022, and it is A Philly Special Christmas by the Philadelphia Eagles. I loved it. I thought this was such a refreshing take on classic country songs, and it was awesome. I really liked it a lot.
Philly, is this the football team?
Yeah, the football team.
What?
The NFL team, the Philadelphia Eagles, recorded a Christmas album.
Yeah.
Singing all of your favorite Christmas songs. And it was incredible.
Oh, dude, the album art, it goes hard. It's cool. Like Charlie Brown style.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Yeah, they actually...
Yeah,
I was listening to New Heights, which is Jason Kelce. He's the center for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he does a podcast with his brother Travis, who plays tight end for Kansas City. And they were talking about the album, and he said they actually reached out to the creator of Charlie Brown to ask if they could use that style of art for the album art. And he gave them, he said, without a doubt, yes, go ahead. It's going to be great. And wow. All of the proceeds from the album went towards one of Jason Kelsey's many charities that he has in the Philadelphia area. So it's pretty cool. It was a great cause. And the album is actually really dope. It's a lot of linemen on the album.
Yeah, I was just looking at the, like, it's actual football players.
What? Yeah. It is the football team. They're singing the songs and they're not half bad.
No, they sound I would say they sound pretty good for like linemen.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't recommend that they retire from the NFL, but
yeah,
I mean, don't quit your day job.
Yeah, but it's still like it could pass. Like it's a really good album.
That's nuts, man. How did this pass me by?
Probably because you're not really into the sports scene.
Yeah, but like, how is this not being talked about everywhere?
I don't know. Like, I really don't know. It was pretty big in like this on like sports social media algorithms. Like everybody was talking about it there. It was really big in Philadelphia.
Yeah, like this is like something my grandmother would hear about watching Entertainment Tonight at like 7 p.m.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it kind
of. Oh, did you hear about them Eagles?
Well, I mean, I also feel like for this album, really the marketing and press publication for this kind of stuff kind of wasn't possible because they're, you know, playing football.
Right.
So I don't think they really could like dive into the whole like marketing their album for people. And it's a Christmas album. So I don't think they really pushed it too hard. It's really cool. I mean, I know it's March right now, but I'd turn it on, listen to it, because these guys kill it, especially Jordan Mailata. They all were making jokes that he was using football to get to a grander stage so he could launch his singing career. Jordan Mailata, I think he's like 6'8", 300 something pounds, and he is like hitting all of these really high notes, and everyone's like, what is going on? But it was good. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really first. I thought it was like a joke. I thought it'd be kind of like funny, but these guys killed it. They did a great job and they're actually not bad vocalists at all.
Good for them. That's cool.
I know. Best Christmas album of Philly Special Christmas by the NFL's Philadelphia Eagles. Those are my awards. Let's hop over to Benjamin.
Yeah, I'll get through these pretty quick. All right, so my number one album of the year was Hellfire by Black Midi. I think it's also on Luke's list. I just spoiled your segment. Yeah, really good album. I've been listening to Black Midi for a while now. I still think Schlagenheim is like a triumph of noise rock. Yeah, my favorite album of the year. My least favorite album of the year, there's a three-way tie. Cowboy Tears by Oliver Tree. I've always hated this dude's shtick. And he just keeps doing it. So I didn't like that one.
He's not listening.
At all. Of course, Earthling by Eddie Vedder is up there. That was just so shit. I hated that. Why did we listen to that? Who suggested it?
Is Alec?
I did.
Yeah, of course. Yes. He's so proud.
Alec, of course. Yeah, I just gave you guys the worst album of the year. So what?
I did. Yeah.
And then, interestingly, Bloor Street by Kiefer Sutherland was also a...
Who?
Kiefer Sutherland, the actor.
No.
What?
Yeah, it's like a folk like Americana album kind of, and he talks a lot about like Toronto. But like the folk sound's not conducive to, or at least in my view, to someone who grew up in like a metropolitan area. He's like on the plains where I used to live, and it's like, bro, you grew up like 10 feet from the Rogers Center. You live in like the most diverse city on the planet. Anyway.
Bloor Street, more like Boar Street.
Boar shit. Yeah, that shit was terrible. other highlights on my list. Motomami by Rosalia I thought was really good. I like Rosalia a lot. Forever Story by J.I.D. has one of my favorite songs of the year on it in surround sound, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And That's basically it. So my three awards, the first one is Griselda Member of the Year. It goes to Conway the Machine. He's not officially Griselda anymore, so I should choose my words carefully. But Freddie Gibbs released and West Side Gun released, but I thought God Don't Make Mistakes was the best out of those. Freddie Gibbs had a rare off year. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I thought so.
You know, he's not technically Griselda.
He's got the same sound. I think we've made that mistake before. That fallacy works.
Yeah.
Not Griselda, but he sounds like
he's
it, so we just
spiritually Griselda, but yeah. Yeah, because they're beefing now, right?
Him and
I
Benny.
Think so.
Yeah.
I saw Freddie back in May of last year, like a week before we graduated. And
that's awesome.
The week before, he was in Buffalo, and he got jumped by, like, a bunch of dudes.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
These hip-hop beefs get crazy.
Crazy, but it was wild, because he came on stage, and he still had his chain on, and he was like, I still got my motherfucking chain. it's wild, but...
Man, that's awesome.
I think, like, Freddie created the beef, because they were
hot. Yeah.
It's like, I don't even get it, how people get mad at each other. They kind of just, like, decide to get mad one day, and then they run.
Yeah, I just can't. I don't know. I've never been that mad at someone to, like, well, first of all, try and beat him up. Never. Or send people to beat him up. Never.
This kind of sparks a little quick sidebar for me. I was listening to Two Bears, One Cave, and they were talking about who the most dangerous guys in hip-hop were. And Tom was like,
Macklemore,
Puff, 100%. And I was like, I don't know. So who do you guys think is someone with
their? Who did he say?
Daddy?
He said Puff. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's? I don't.
50 Cent.
I don't know. The first people that came to mind were Ice Cube. Those guys.
The game is simultaneously the toughest guy in hip hop and the biggest pussy I know. Like, he does the weirdest shit. Like, he just makes up stories. Like, when he made up that story about being, like, really close friends with Kobe, like, as soon as he died.
Oh,
and then,
God, that shit was hilarious.
I was like, just shut up. And he's still crying about the beef with 50. Like, I don't know. But
I'd say 50 is up there for sure.
Yeah, 50 is.
The Griselda guys, I feel like they're like about it. Like, they'll actually like kill you.
Yeah.
If you let them.
Dude, I'm terrified of Conway the Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I couldn't look him in the eyes if I would ever be around him.
Oh, yeah. Well, YMW Melly, like, he's literally.
Oh, he's literally killed people.
Yeah. And wrote a song about it. Like, he was so confident that he'd get away with it, he wrote a song about it.
Is it Choppa? Is Choppa the one that, like,
NLE Choppa?
One of those NLE guys, like, he was like 19 and was already getting like life in prison for it. Might have been Choppa, I don't remember.
Well, didn't Gucci Mane like produce from jail?
Oh, yeah, Gucci's up there too for sure. Yeah,
and isn't DaBaby like not a good person?
He's a dick, to be honest. Yeah,
DaBaby's just like
he's also murdered someone.
Yeah,
like, well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you murder somebody, loves I think that qualifies as being a bad person.
Like, he thinks he's tough for throwing temper tantrums.
DaBaby also loves to, like, sexually assault women. So I guess, like, on a morality spectrum, which one's worse, murder or?
Yeah.
I'm just saying they're both bad. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'll abstain from this.
All in the middle. Yeah.
Sorry to divert. Let's dive back into the awards.
Also, can I just say how funny it is that four white guys are trying to talk about this right now?
Guys are about it.
scholarly discussions.
Yeah, they're just really about it. You know, they just
they're
you know,
about it. Barely set foot out of Pennsylvania. They're about it. But what we're talking about, yeah, but anyway, I think Conway had the best album of the year out of those guys. He was at, that was number 10 on my top 10. Yeah. God Don't Make Mistakes, very good. Worst vocal performance, my second award goes to Alex Turner of Arctic Monkeys. The Car, ironically, is my third favorite album of the year, but goddamn, his voice sucks. It's like listening to I don't know, just like your average like British guy trying to do like a Frank Sinatra impression. It's very like croon. He's trying to croon, basically. It sounds like shit. But the album's really good. I do recommend listening to it. It's very different from what they've normally done. if you can get over his voice. And sticking with the British theme, my third award is the best angsty British young adult album. There's a couple of these every year. This year's winner is The Overload by Yard Act, which came out in January, which feels like a lifetime ago.
I was
it's over a year ago.
Used why I was on this list. So yeah, I was like, that's like definitely was last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great album. Very good debut from them as well. Very, very socially conscious. Fantastic all around. So my segment is complete. Let's let our guests take over.
Yes.
I want to hear what Luke. All right,
Luke, you're in the driver's seat.
All right. Listen and listen up, bitches. I'm sorry. That was rude. I'm so sorry. In terms of my list, my number one was actually like pretty simple in terms of like what I listened to this year. It's an album called Ants From Up Here by a group called Black Country New Road. Did any of you guys listen to that by chance?
No, yeah. I didn't get to it. There were a couple I didn't get to.
It has like revolutionized like the TikTok music scene. I've seen people talk about it for like 9 months now.
Yeah.
Or however long it's been out.
Yeah. I think it came out last February. I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it was like really, really close to my birthday. I think was when it came out.
He wrote it just for you.
I know. He was speaking of like who wrote it. So like, I think what kind of adds to like the thing with it is the main guy in the group. I think Ben might know this. The main guy in the group quit the band about 2 weeks or so before the album came out. And like this guy, I think his name's Isaac. He was kind of like the heart of the band, especially since he was like the lead singer. But he added this like almost like otherworldly feeling to like a lot of the songs just because of the way that he sang and stuff like that. And you know, he decided not to be a part of the group anymore, and then it ended up being released, and like it was kind of like critically acclaimed. It was really, really loved by a lot of people, and it kind of makes sense. Like it's, I think coming in it from the outside, it's such an easy like art rock album for almost anyone to listen to. They kind of maneuver through like time signatures and key changes in a way that you don't really like realize it. I just feel like they do it in a way that makes it just sound like pop. Which from like what I hear from the band, that's the biggest thing they connected on was pop itself. So I think that was like a huge influence in terms of like what they wanted to do with it. But yeah, it's like a 10 song album. There's not a single song I dislike on it out of those 10 songs. And yeah, heavily recommend to any of you guys that haven't heard it. In terms of my least favorite, I genuinely couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you because I don't know. With like making this list, I was going in it so hard to be like, oh, what's like the best shit? What was like my favorite shit? And I forgot to think of like, oh, what did I hate? And I just, I can't think of anything because I was just too focused on like what I really, really liked. So yeah. I'm probably going to listen to that Eddie Vedder album and just shit on it in my head.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to that. Like I didn't listen to that when that came out and stuff.
Good.
But
man, I like Pearl Jam. All right. I thought it would be good.
Dude, I love Pearl Jam.
Not Pearl Jam at all.
No. It's Eddie Vedder. I guess then well on my list, I guess I'll just run through this quick. Of course I have Mr. Morales number two, which initially when it came out, I didn't think like too much about it. I was like, okay, another Kendrick. Like, I love, like, Kendrick's one of my favorite rappers ever, but I'm like, okay, another Kendrick album. And then I think in the past like 2 months, I started re-listening to it, and it kind of clicked for me how just open and honest, like blunt, where he was like, I fucked up. I've done very bad things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it, you know? And that's kind of at this point what it really is to me. It's like just this like giant therapy session where he's just being very blunt that he has made a lot of mistakes
yeah,
in life. And he's just like very, very clear about that. And so that, I think with time, that's just hit me more. Like what was on Ben, Hellfire. I loved Hellfire. Also, I got to give a shout out to 10 by West Side Gun.
Yeah.
That shit blew my mind when I
think that was my favorite from Griselda this year.
Yeah, I have to agree. Actually, moving on to my first award, I have West Side Gun for the most consistent rapper this side of the Mississippi, which is so I think is so true.
Yeah,
I was actually like taking a run to 10, like a few days ago, and there was multiple parts where I just had to stop because I'm like, man, I'm never gonna make anything like this good, and it's like. At some points I feel like he really doesn't even like need to try in a way.
Right.
Like with Boldy James, like he's so much in his element that he doesn't need to even like change his shit up too much for even to just like be him. And so, yeah, I was listening to like multiple songs off of it and that shit blows me away. Also with that award number two, I have Conductor Williams for Producer of the Year. In terms of modern producers, I would say like he and then like Wheezy, like Young Thug's producer and shit, are like easily my favorites of like this era. Conductor produced a good amount of the songs on 10 by West Side Gun, but then also on my list I have Kiss the Ring by Rome Streets. I know Jared, you listened to that, right?
Yeah, I think you recommended it to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That also blew me away. I'm actually excited for Rome Streets' like next step. I think he just released an album like 2 weeks ago. But like
what?
Yeah. He just released a new album.
I'm on.
But
that.
This Kiss the Ring album was like I feel like really his like first one. And Conductor handles like a lot of the production on there. Conductor just has like this like such a unique sound to him, I think. Almost like drumless with a lot of stuff. But he just like has such an ear for what I think he thinks is good. And I love it. He just runs with it. And then award number three, I have Yeet for the most inconsistent artist. Okay. I have to state this. He was my number one listened to artist last year. And I'm still saying this. Yeah, I think he's simply an inconsistent man. I think he has really great songs. I was watching this podcast and it was kind of funny. They were saying like, him and his sound is like the Korn, like KORN of like 1995.
Oh my God.
Like it's like that. It's like that thing, you know, the way it's like it was new metal. And this is like kind of like this modern version of rap.
That's perfect.
So I think he's dope. Like I love him, but I do find him highly inconsistent because I think he really, really sticks to his ways. He's young though. I think he was born in the same year and month that I was. So like he has a lot of time to grow, you know, overall as an artist.
Right.
But yeah, I also loved his album that he came out with this year. He came out with that like a few weeks ago. I thought that was way more consistent than the shit he did even last year. So yeah, I had to find someone to give a shout out to Yeet, even though I'm low key dissing on him. But I had this my favorite.
No, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And this is why I really like having Luke on, because you make music, so you have a much different perspective than I do, Jared does, and Ben does. It's just so cool to hear your thoughts. And is it harder to really like bash somebody, or are you overly critical of these artists?
Yeah, I find it very hard to bash people. That's even like when I was like about to say that Yeet shit, I was like, fuck, I don't even know if I want to say this anymore. Just because I do try really hard at what I do, and I love like creating and doing what I do, but like I'm not shit. And I'm talking about this guy who's arguably like the biggest rapper in the game right now, like most streams and shit. Like I don't even know if he's the biggest rapper or whatever. But like, yeah, I find it very hard to even talk shit on like almost anyone at this point. Like I used to kind of feel okay with doing it. And then it got to a point where I'm like, damn, they're really just like trying. Like I can't really shit on someone for trying, especially with audio. Like there's such this weird gray area, I feel like, with audio. even compared to like film and TV and stuff, where it's like, I don't know, you can kind of do so much with it. And it's really just like, if you like it, it's really just your opinion. Like your least favorite song is really someone's favorite song ever, you know?
Yeah.
And like your favorite song could be someone's like the worst shit they've ever heard. And neither of you are wrong, you know? Like, yeah, both of you are right. It's just this gray area of like, it's literally opinion. It's how you hear it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always thought,
go ahead.
You go.
I was gonna say that makes me feel so much better when Jared and Ben shit on me for liking country music so much.
Back to what Luke was saying. I always think music is the most subjective art medium. It's, you know, like there's like a certain amount of objectivity to movies and TV, you know, like how things are shot and editing and things like that. But I think with music, it really all boils down to the consumer and how they react to it.
I agree.
That's top brass. So, yeah.
Well, in movies, TV, there's basically like technical standards that.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like,
so in music, I really don't think there really is a technical standard
when it comes
to writing, producing, all that stuff. I feel like it's way more open as opposed to movies, music, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think also that's why I've taken so much time to make stuff, because it kind of, especially within the past year with graduating and everything, you guys probably all did this too. You kind of took a step back and really thought like, okay, what am I doing here with a lot of the stuff that I'm doing? And it really made me rethink, like, first off, I know that I really care about this. And with doing this, I almost like know what I want to do. So I'm going to take time to do what I want to do with it before I just like release something just for the fuck of it, just because I feel like pressured in my own head to do it or whatever, you know. That kind of mentality, I thought, kind of came with time, because there was times where I thought like, oh, I should release this and this, because maybe thinking like other people would like it. But more and more, it just got to a point where it's like, no, the only person that needs to like it is me. And then if I really know that I like it, then like everything will kind of follow suit with that. So,
yeah.
I've always felt too, that if you can feel that the artist was having fun while making it and they enjoy it, that makes it more enjoyable for us. Wow. Like, you can tell, like, they put their heart and soul into this. They, you know, they're just having fun. That makes it more fun for the consumer, too.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I even remember in college when you were making your songs, you really took your time. Like, I remember the three of us asked you, like, hey, when's it coming out? And you're like, it's supposed to come out this day. And like a week later, you're like, yeah, I'm pushing it back because I want to take more time to really work on it. I think you pushed it back 3-4 times because you really wanted to get your message out in a way that made sense to you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
And those were all bangers.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I look back on that album. It's so wild to think about that came out like over 3 years ago. I isn't that so weird? Like,
that's old.
I still listen to it.
Really?
Yeah, I listen to a number of the songs still.
It's so surreal to think that that came out before like any of the COVID shit hit. It was like a month before the COVID.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's
weird. You were our last guest on air because you released it, and then like a couple weeks later, we all went home.
Yeah, we all like went home after that. So, yeah. Also, just in terms of everything, COVID changed like the way I think about genuinely like everything.
Yeah.
First off, I think the biggest thing is like literally anything can change within like a day. Like, it's so wild to think about like a few days before we were being sent home, it didn't feel like we were going to go home at all. And then like something kind of like switches and then literally like everything changes. So like with that, I kind of realized like, damn, this shit is kind of like, it can be frail. Like just these like structures we have around us, like this shit can just like fall quick. But also, like, that time taught me to just, like, take my time and just anything that you really want to do in life, just, like, if you take your time to do it and you believe in it, then, you know, genuinely everything kind of follows suit with that, you know.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Fuck yeah, man.
Well,
hell yeah.
What is our album of the year?
Right. I
keep getting distracted by you doing your stupid little cursor thing.
I keep clicking around.
Every single show, Jared cannot keep the cursor on our shared document still, and he jumps around the whole time. And instead of reading what I'm supposed to read, I just look at Jared Emmel flying up and down the page.
I am a very fidgety person. I can't sit still at all. So I'm either doing that or I'm bouncing my leg or a little bit of both. So yeah, if you honestly, that's just on you at this point. If you have a problem with it, this is me, man. You got to accept it.
It's one of the many reasons I love you.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good thing I was
the year, and I'm asking you because you've changed it twice now.
Yeah, and I was gonna say it's a good thing I was clicking around because I was just reading our lists as I was clicking through, and I had to change it twice because I missed some stuff. So originally, I had Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers winning. I don't know who the honorable mention was, and then I realized the Forever Story by Jid beat it by 1 point, and then that changed the Mr. Morale down to the honorable mention. And then I realized Hellfire by Black Midi was album of the year, which I just said that without saying the honorable mention. But yeah, it's Hellfire. Hellfire by Black Midi. I figured that out second to last with 17 points is our album of the year. It was Ben's number one, giving it 10 points. And it was Luke's number four, giving it 7. And then our honorable mention, which this shocked me, Cheat Codes by Danger Mouse and Black Thought, 13 points. It was my number three, giving it 8, and Ben's number five, giving it, if I can do math, 5, 6 points.
How'd you get 13?
I just messed that up. Hold on. It was Ben's number five, gave him 6 points, and it was my number four, or three, 8 points. Oh, my God, is it a tie? Did I do the math wrong again? Give me a sec. 10, 9, 8. 8 points from me. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 6 points. Yeah, we have a tie. No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't. It's 14 points. Still honorable mention. Hellfire, 17 points.
Oh, man.
Glad I figured that out. Good Lord.
Wow. Oh, man. As we continue with the Abbeys, we are clearly the most reliable, unflawed, unbiased award show out there today. Again, nothing on my list has won for the third. So
have you gotten an honorable mention either or no?
No, the Jabbies is we're gonna have to rename it to the JB Awards or something.
wait. No, that's not right. You definitely had, because didn't FIFA get honorable mention?
Technically.
Yeah, by something from your list.
By lack of consumption.
Eddie Vedder literally won worst album.
Yeah, it's sweeped worst album
Unanimous.
Of the year. Yeah.
Unanimous. There we go.
Good job there.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah.
You're welcome for giving the worst album of the year.
Oh, my God.
Oh my man!
But see, this is why I thought it. This is why I came up with the awards thing that we can each give out 3. Because a little more. No, wait. And you had? Did you the boys? No, you didn't vote for that. And nope. Or you didn't watch? Yep. Never mind. Nope. TV's a wash.
Oh man, this has been great. Great. It was great to talk to you guys again. I'm glad I can be a part of your show.
Alec, thank you so much for being a guest, dude. Like, it's just so nice to have you on here.
I know. It's nice to come on every now and then.
The LBJ cast. Luke, thanks for joining us today, man, for a third time.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate you coming on.
Tied for most all time on the jab.
Yeah. Who's going to break it?
Crazy. We're going to have to run those numbers way up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just be making like secret special appearances and shit.
We're just gonna have Luke pop in next episode.
Colin. He's just gonna do like a producer tag. It's like, oh, that counts.
Yeah, just a little sum. Just throw in. Might as well.
You got anything to tease music-wise?
Sooner, there's stuff coming sooner than later. And I know the last time I was on, I said that. But that was like right before we graduated, and I really needed to like get footing. Like there, like way sooner than later, and I'm truthfully like so excited. This has been like the most confident I've felt with anything I've made. So that's kind of how I know that like I feel really good about it. Also, the fact that like I can kind of just like re-listen to stuff, and I don't like hate it no matter how many times I re-listen to it.
Cool.
Like it just keeps me excited. So yeah, I'm just really excited to just get shit out there and start trying to like spearhead my music career. You know?
Have you ever performed live?
No, but I think I will be soon.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
You gotta let us know. We're coming.
Dude, like I think it's gonna be on a Saturday at my friend's. It's gonna be at my friend's house in Delaware. He lives in Newark, but they're gonna hold a concert back there, and I think that's where I'm gonna like unveil like the shit I'm making. So
that's dude,
so
cool, yes,
bro. Get us those backstage passes.
Good
dog.
For you, bro.
You guys will be on stage. You guys will be like pissing off. Hell yeah.
Be like your random squad that the guys is like, who are those random white guys?
I'm like, this is B-Boys. Yeah, it's my squad. So it's literally just gonna be like five white dudes on the stage, and I'm gonna be like, what the fuck's going on? Like,
yes.
Going on?
I'm doing point, like the whip and the nay nay on the side.
Yeah, just like, you gotta get it real clunky. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss you, and I want to thank you guys for having me back on.
Of course.
When Jared told me, I truly got like so excited because I was like, dude, yes. Like I missed Jabcast, and I felt like I wasn't on like. You guys were on air, but like I wasn't on like a full Jabcast where like it was all three of you together. So
right, yeah.
I was so excited. Yeah, thank you.
Good, man. Glad to hear it. Yeah, I miss you too, man. I'm gonna come up. I gotta figure out a time to come visit you and Colin up where you're at.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
Figure that out.
So fun.
Yeah. Let me know. We'll come out. It'll be great.
Yes, please. And Ben too. Like all of you guys. Of this area is just so nice and. I don't know. There's a lot of like fun stuff to do, and it'll be fun to catch up and just, you know, see what everyone's doing.
Absolutely, man. All right. Well, until then, Luke, it's been great.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for listening to another wonderful episode of The Jabbies. Tune in next week. We've got our final episode with movies with the very Colin Quinn coming on. Got to figure out if he's also getting his hat trick or if this is just his second appearance. But yeah, keep a lookout for that next Friday. Bye, guys.
Later.